It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. From the gas pump to the grocery store to housing, many Americans and people in Wisconsin are feeling squeezed by the day-to-day cost of things. The U.S. economy continues to send mixed signals as some prices fall and wages stagnate. Last month saw the cost of groceries dip slightly and inflation cooled off from June to July, but the cost of living is still up 3.4% from a year ago, and gas prices remain higher than this time last year. Employers cut 23,000 jobs last month, and previous gains in May and June, they were revised downward. Here in Wisconsin, employment has remained mostly flat. The state's seasonally adjusted employment rate ticked down to 3.3% in June, sitting below the national average. To break down the latest data and what it means for people in Wisconsin, Menzie Chin is with us, professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs in the economics department. Menzie, welcome back.
Thanks, Kate. Pleasure to be here.
We'll take the economic data one at a time, but first, taken as a whole, how would you characterize current economic conditions and what Wisconsinites are feeling right now?
Well, for the nation overall, the economy keeps on plugging along, and it's kind of a two-speed economy. It's being sustained in large part by this boom in artificial intelligence. And not so much in the sense of spending, because a lot of what's being spent is imported, but in the sense that the stock market remains pretty high, and that elevates the wealth of high-income households, and they are doing a lot of the sustaining of the economic growth and consumption in the economy. And so there's kind of a two-track economy. The economy overall, growing. But there are going to be certain portions that are seemingly slow or stagnant. And I think that's the biggest concern. It's the differential.
So in terms of that, you say overall growing, but consumer sentiment fell in August after a couple months of gains. And that's from our neighbor, University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index. Where do you see this disconnect? Where do you see the greatest concerns among consumers?
Well, there's been several years, disconnect between what the sentiment indicators, you know, what you get from surveys of consumers, mm-hmm. what they indicate and what they do. And so it's like a break in the relationship occurred several years ago during the Biden administration, and it's never really been restored. What's true is consumption has been remarkably strong, despite the fact that we have these record low numbers, which could be in part due to problems with sampling in the surveys. What seems to be true is overall consumption remains strong. Part of the explanation might be the fact that it's high income households, those who are mostly or in great proportion invested in the stock market, who are sustaining a lot of the consumption. And that took on reinforced importance in the wake of the war, where gasoline prices surged, overall spending, if you just measure it in dollars, retail spending increased, but a lot of it is due to the increase in prices. And once you take out the increase in prices, it's not so clear that consumption spending is growing as fast. And there's, once again, this differential between higher income households and the rest.
With that said, the difference between the higher income households propping things up and the rest of Americans, I want to ask you about the K-shaped economy, because researchers from Bank of America, as well as Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, they've said recent trends are putting an end to the so-called K-shaped economy, that, you know, how spending and wage growth for high-income Americans outpacing that of low-income Americans in recent years. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think, in some sense, it's hard to disagree just because the data aren't built to explain these things. So when you look at aggregate consumption, there's not a line that says in the statistics that are released, high income consumption versus low income consumption. You kind of have to infer this from all sorts of auxiliary sorts of data like credit card spending and so forth. So it could be that's the case, but I'd say that there's a lot of noise in the data, especially surrounding all these shocks that are occurring. So there's probably a trend. We don't, I suspect the trend is still in place between, high income, low income, but it's been buffeted by tariffs, first of all, And then, well, this the war, and on top of that, the uncertainty. Even though price of gasoline is a little bit lower than where it was, they say, 6 months ago, it's still the case that there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's a lot of difficulty in measuring these things, especially when lots of prices are changing. And so I would be loath to conclude the K-shaped economy is over.
Okay, average price of a gallon of gas in Wisconsin, just checked, is $3.89 this morning, according to AAA. That is up a little over a dollar per gallon from a year ago. Talk about what is contributing to the volatility of prices at the pump.
Well, for sure, the first thing is exactly the fact that we have lots of uncertainty about what's going to be the supply of oil, because we live in an integrated world market. You hear this talk about if you pump if we drill more in the US, that'll somehow drop the price of oil. But the price of oil is set by and large internationally by the total amount of world demand and the total amount of world supply. And supply has been constrained by a lot due to the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Now, there have been some workarounds, but those workarounds are not going to close the gap entirely. That's one measure. And the price of oil today depends not only on the price, how much you have available today, but the expectations about what's going to be available come 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, because oil is storable. Well, if you just think about the proclamations from the president about, the war is over, the strait is open, the strait is closed, the strait is open, well, you can see that there's a lot of uncertainty going to be pushed into this market. And so that's going to push around what people think the price of oil should be at any given instant, even if it's something in the future, because oil is storable. Second thing is we tend to have this discussion about oil and just oil. But there's also a lot of refined product that comes out through the Strait of Hormuz. And so you have seen this gap between the price of oil, $90 for Brent, which is the world benchmark right now, which is down from 120 in the early month of the war. But if you look at the price of gasoline in futures, that is a contract for getting gasoline in September, well, it's not too far below where it was in March, okay, for a September delivery. Well, what's the difference? The difference is we've got a lot of refinery capacity that's not either accessible or is offline. Not accessible because it was refined in the behind the Strait of Hormuz, or it's offline because of strikes in Ukraine. And then you've got whatever constraints you have in refining in the US. So we have this existing gap between gasoline prices and oil prices, which can vary for other reasons than just the Strait of Hormuz.
Okay, I want to leave a little bit of time here for housing, mortgage rates. Economist Menzie Chin, I mean, we see still an elevated average 30-year fixed rate at 6.67%, according to Freddie Mac. Could cooling inflation change the outlook for mortgage rates?
They could, certainly. So, the way to think about it is what's tied most closely to the 30-year mortgage is in part the 10-year Treasury yield. And so, what's the 10-year Treasury yield depend upon? It depends upon the current supply and demand for Treasuries, borrowing and lending from the government. But it's also expectations of inflation going forward. So, for instance, the 2 year interest rate I expect is not just the 1 year interest rate I expect today, but a function of what the 1 year interest rate I expect in the future. Unfortunately, we have a collision of various factors going in the opposite direction. Sure, maybe if we get a deal in US-Iran deal that reopens the strait, maybe inflation in the short term comes down and that'll take pressure off 10-year treasury and then the 30-year mortgage. But offsetting that is a collision where the US government is borrowing ever more and more. Here we are with the economy at full employment and we're running a massive budget deficit, which translates to we got to borrow, the federal government has to borrow a lot each year. And so there's plenty of demand. The government's trying to sell these bonds in order to get people to want to buy those bonds. they've got to offer them at a lower price, i.e. a higher interest rate.
Yep.
And so I'd like to say that maybe 30-year mortgage rates are fated to come down a lot, but it's hard to see the fundamentals saying that they will come down a lot unless we have a really deep recession or a fairly deep recession, which pushes down inflation expectations.
Yeah.
Yes, interest rates are high, but there's a reason.
Yeah.
It's not completely the war and higher inflation, partly, but it's also the fundamentals that we, the US government, just isn't borrowing a lot, and that's going to tend to keep interest rates high.
Okay, Menzie, major retailers like Walmart, like Target, like Home Depot, they're set to release earnings reports, as you know, this week. What are you watching for from second quarter earnings?
Well, my understanding is that second quarter earnings are going to be relatively strong. I'm not in a position to sort of say what that will signal. It seems like the business, in part, their earnings are doing well. One part of it is the fact that they're getting refunds. Now, I don't know about the retailers, but refunds from the previously imposed tariffs are sort of giving a push to the overall economy. So not focusing on the retailers per se, but overall in terms of corporates in general, seems like they're in a strong position. So once again, partly the two sort of the two-part economy, I can see businesses doing fairly well going forward now that they're getting refunded the tariffs that were ruled illegal by the Supreme Court. That's giving them a tailwind, at least in the short term. So the prospects for the economy, if you look at most economists' projections, will say, we're going about 2% this quarter, 2% next quarter. So short term, we're, doing okay in the aggregate.
Thank you for your insights on this two-speed economy, as you say. Menzie, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Menzie Chin, Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs and the Economics Department.